Thank you all. Thank you, ladies. I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. That thank you note from Dorothy is just a reminder how important it is and what a blessing it is to those who receive the cards to get a card in the mail from people like you and me. If we'll just write a note and send, thinking of you, praying for you, and or just introduce yourself, who you are. You don't know me, but I go to Wheatland Baptist Church, and she'll be happy to hear from you and others like her. Little notes like that, cards are very important, so appreciate you doing that. And she was, of course, very appreciative. I'm going to read John chapter 10, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. So follow along as we read about the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so now I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not in this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Of course, he's speaking here of the resurrection. This commandment I've received of my Father. When there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil, a demon, open the eyes of the blind? The Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Bless now as we consider the passage before us. Speak to our hearts. Glorify your precious name. May we love you. May we love you. May we love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love those all around us, even as Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners. So bless, I commit this time to you. Help me as I preach. Help us as we all listen and apply and live out the things that we hear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now we come to the last public address or the last discourse of Jesus that John records in his gospel. Of course, we're going through his gospel verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And chapter 10 just naturally follows chapter 9, where we saw the healing of the man born blind. It flows directly from those events, and there's really no time gap or no break in thought between chapter 9 and 10. So remember, we just looked at the healing of the blind man last week. He was born blind, no fault of his own, and it was in order that God would be glorified, that God's works would be manifest in his healing. And when they ask him, what in the world happened that you were you're not blind anymore. And he answered in John 9:25, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And I trust that's one thing you know, that whereas I was blind spiritually and groping in darkness, now I see. Now I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. So now we come to chapter 10, and the Lord just continues to speak to these same people, his disciples. The formerly blind beggar, no doubt, is there. The hostile Pharisees and others in the ever-present crowd. And now Jesus uses the figure or the metaphor of a good shepherd to distinguish his ministry or his work from that of the false shepherds all around, to stress his ability and his willingness to provide and to comfort and protect his own sheep, his own children. So much so that he would not just be the shepherd of the sheep, but he would lay down his life as the lamb sacrificed for our sins. What an analogy, a shepherd, but also a lamb? How can that be? But indeed, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is indeed the good shepherd. And our thoughts, when we hear that word, that phrase, good shepherd, our thoughts go to Psalm 23, where we hear these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I am a lost, wandering sheep in desperate need of guidance and care. And I find that only in Jesus Christ. But I find it in him. I was a sheep going astray. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Isaiah 53, verse 3 or verse 6, I can't remember now. But I've got to find someone to help me. I need help. I need someone that's going to take care of me. Someone that's going to get me through this life and will also assure me that I can make it to the next life. I want to go to heaven, but I have no idea how to get there. And then Jesus came, and Jesus became my shepherd. You see? People can't handle this life very well. So how in the world are they going to manage to get to heaven? You know, a week and a prayer, a hope and a prayer. My shepherd will lead me all the way. All the way. We sing, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Well, we should look at chapter 10 of John in light of the many Old Testament passages which condemn shepherds who fail in their duty. People of both the Old Testament and New Testament times were very familiar with shepherding because it was a way of life for them. But they were also familiar with their spiritual leaders being referred to as shepherds. That was a common term that was applied to the spiritual leaders. But the earthly shepherds of Israel many, many times did not live up to their name as guides and leaders of the sheep. And because of their disastrous failure, God let them know what he thought of them in a number of places in Scripture. Turn to Jeremiah 23. Let me just read at least one here. Keep your place in John. Jeremiah 23, you find the Psalms and Proverbs and then Isaiah, and then you'll come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, and this whole chapter is really a denunciation of concerning the false pastors, the false shepherds of Israel. Verse 1 of Jeremiah 23, woe be unto the pastors or shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors, and it can be translated shepherds too, that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and are not visiting them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. We won't take time, but we can also look at Jeremiah 25, 31 to 38. Another denunciation of the shepherds, the false shepherds of Israel. Also, Isaiah 56, 9 to 12. Isaiah 56, 10. You watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. He's calling the shepherds, the pastors of Israel, dumb dogs who cannot bark. They cannot sound the warning, evidently. And also we see that in Zechariah 11, Ezekiel 34. By way of stark contrast, God is a shepherd of Israel. God is a shepherd of Israel, which gives a measure of responsibility to his under-shepherds. God is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, but he's given responsibility to his under-shepherds, those entrusted with this duty, who must be faithful. And it's a heinous crime when they are not. We read in Psalm 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. And then Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. That's what God does. God is a faithful shepherd. But Israel's shepherds failed in their responsibility more than once. And this is what calls forth the prophecy that a shepherd after God's own heart will in due time appear. And we see that prophecy in Ezekiel 34, 23. And I will set up a shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. From whom did Christ come? David. He came from the line of David. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, he shall be their shepherd. And it is this shepherd whom we now see in this chapter, John 10, the good shepherd, as he's called, who provides for the sheep. He cares for them. He leads them. He protects them. That's what Jesus Christ does for you, friend. He cares for you. He loves you. He protects you. He nurtures you. He thinks about you all the time. He wants abundant life for you. You see? That's who we see in John 10, the good shepherd who provides for the sheep. But John even goes further and shows that the good shepherd provides for the sheep, even to the extent of laying down his life for the sheep. And as we consider this good shepherd who laid his life down for his sheep, we see, first of all, number one, the good shepherd leads. Obviously. The good shepherd leads. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Always. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. I'm like a lost sheep wandering in the wilderness, losing my way, having no hope, and without God in the world. My, oh my, that was me. I was so lost. I was as lost as you can get. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew something's wrong. Something's not right in my life. I am lacking something. Well, I lack the shepherd. I lack the shepherd. And Jesus, my shepherd, comes and rescues me from the danger of myself and my world. And he takes me in his bosom and he leads me out of danger into the blessings of light and life. I'm in the pit. I'm in the ditch. And Jesus, the shepherd, takes his staff and he rescues me and he carries me in his bosom from now into through into eternity. In fact, not only does thy rod and thy staff comfort me, but he prepares a table before me right in the middle of my enemies. He guards me, protects me, and keeps me through every trouble, every trial, every danger. You cannot think of a danger, trial, trouble that God does not keep you through it, protect you in it, and brings you through. He sweetens my trials with honey. He sprinkles sugar and honey on all our trials. They all come and they're all sifted through his hands, aren't they not? Satan himself cannot touch me without God's permission. God filters it all for his glory, for my good. The shepherd leads. At night, the shepherd leads his sheep into the sheepfold, verse 1. The sheepfold was a stone-like enclosure, or likely a stone-walled enclosure, and the stones were stacked up high enough to keep the wild animals out. Most of the time, it didn't have a roof, and sometimes it might even be a cave where the sheep would be herded in before nightfall. And many times, several shepherds, maybe even four or five, would use the same sheepfold, the same enclosure. And there would usually be a porter. And a porter, I understand, was a doorkeeper who would lay down in the doorway to keep the sheep in and the animals and robbers out. And nobody could cross over that porter without him knowing about it. And in the morning, the shepherd would come and call a sheep to take out for grazing that day. And sometimes he would know the sheep's name, one by one. And evidently, the sheep have this uncanny ability to know or distinguish their own shepherd's voice. And so well did they know it, that if a stranger tried to mimic the shepherd, didn't do any good. The sheep would not follow, because they recognize that's not the voice of our master. False shepherds don't lead the sheep. They have to steal them. A true minister, a true pastor, is called of God to be an under-shepherd of Jesus. He is called. I believe he is divinely called. He doesn't just decide that it would be a good occupation. I used to think about that. Well, if I'm not going to pastor, what would I do? I didn't know. Whenever I knew, every time I thought about it, I thought, I know if I am not, don't become a pastor, I'm gonna think I should have been a pastor. You know, I thought maybe I can be a mail carrier. That seems like something I can handle, just delivering the mail. I thought, I know I'll be miserable. So he's called. He doesn't just decide it'd be a good occupation. And most of us struggle with that call. I sure did. For a number of years, I struggled with it, wondering, is God calling me or not? But only God calls. People that get into the ministry for the wrong reason usually struggle, and they usually don't stay very long. The word for shepherd is also the word for pastor. It's a Greek word, poimon. A pastor is to be a shepherd who shepherds the sheep, and he seeks to lead them and feed them and care for them. And because a pastor is a shepherd, he better like sheep. And you know I love you all. I even like all of you. No exceptions, right? Don't get along with everybody, but we all love each other, don't we? And because a pastor is a shepherd, he's better like sheep. Jesus is pointing out that the Pharisees were false shepherds. They were evil shepherds. And they're still with us today. Our nation, our world is full of false shepherds. They're sheep in wolves' clothing. They look like sheep, they baa like sheep, but they're wolves. They're prolific. They're everywhere. Many of them are very wealthy and preach a false health and wealth gospel, name it and claim it, money-grabbing gospel. And they're fleecing the sheep, not feeding the sheep. They're charlatans. They're frauds. They're quacks. Guys like Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and Joseph Prince and Joel Osteen. Follow the money. Look at the mansions they live in. They buy private jets for millions of dollars. And there are many, many, many in it for the money. We can go down the list of those. They're not preaching a gospel of repentance and salvation. It's a feel-good gospel. It's a give your money and God will bless you. Send your money to me and I can buy my mansion and God will bless you. So many charlatans out there. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, verse 3, and he leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Indeed, the Lord is my shepherd, and he calls me by name. He calls me by my own name. I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worth taking note of, but God does. A name that he knows and treasures, because I belong to him. I am one with him. I am part of his family now, and he'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. He'll keep me. Not only am I in his hands, I'm part of his hands. I'm one of his fingers. That's how united you and I are to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he leads me out to find pasture and experience all the blessings that he has given to me. And he goes before them. He makes a path for me to tread. And it's an easy road because he clears the way. He's gone there before. He knows the way. I know his voice, so I want to follow that voice. And, of course, I hear his voice in the Word of God. The Word of God. Where it's comforting and calm and it's a tender, loving voice. So the good shepherd faithfully leads, we see in verses 1 to 6. Secondly, the good shepherd is the only door, verses 7 to 10. The good shepherd is the only door, verse 7. And then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Notice three times Jesus uses the phrase, I am. I am. And that's a title that is the prerogative of God alone to use. No one can say, I am, but God alone. I am that I am, God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14. I am the only God, the true God, the self-sufficient one, the self-existent one. And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and he claims his title as his own, for he is God. We believe with all our heart that Jesus Christ is a very God come in human flesh. So Jesus is saying, I am the one who is. I am the one who has been eternally. I am the infinite one, the self-sufficient, self-existent one. And he declares in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. Not only is he God, but he's a God who makes a way for you and me. He repeats that in verse 9. Sometimes the shepherd himself slept in the opening of the sheepfold to guard the sheep. And no one can enter or leave except through him. And so in this metaphor, he is the door through which the sheep enter the safety of God's fold and go out into rich pasture of his blessing. It's through him and him alone that lost sinners can approach the Father and be saved. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. He is the door to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only door in the universe. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You cannot be saved through any other means. You cannot be saved by your works, by your religion, by your goodness, because none of us is good enough to get to heaven. You cannot get there but through Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you prayed to receive him? Have you given your life to him? Now's the time. Tomorrow's too late. Tomorrow never comes. We don't have but a few more minutes to live, and then we're ushered into eternity. Well, you say, I have years to live. You don't know that, do you? You don't know that. Now's the time to be saved. He's the door. I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall be saved. Now, many people don't like to use this biblical word today. Sounds kind of old-fashioned, you know, like something from the 1800s. Well, let me tell you, it came from Jesus. That's how old-fashioned it is. It's a good word. Christ used it here and throughout the Bible. I'm saved. That means I'm saved. I'm secure. I'm free in Christ, for he saved me from my sin. We read in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verse 13. We can be saved. We were under the burden and bondage of sin, but the shepherd delivered us from that bondage, and he saves. And we're not only and when saved, we not only have the promise of heaven to come, but security in this life and enjoyment of this life now. Verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He wants us to enjoy our salvation today. That's the only way you can enjoy life is through knowing Christ. Because then I can live life knowing heaven is ahead. I'm on my way to heaven. And so I'm going to enjoy my life now. I'm going to really enjoy heaven. And now's the time to prepare for that day. But he wants us to have abundant life, abundant spiritual life, have it joyful. We can be a rejoicing people. Yeah, even in the midst of trials and troubles. Count it all joy, James says in James 1, verse 2. Count all joy when you fall into various trials. Today, your life can be abundant. Now you say, well, now you're sounding like Joel Osteen. Well, that's true. We can have abundant life, but it's only through Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. Right now, right this moment, you are offered an abundant life if you'll but open your hand and your heart and receive the precious gift of grace from the Lord. That's all you do. Just open up your heart, say, yes, Lord, I believe you died for me. I receive you now. Psalm 36, 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. God's going to make us drink of the river of his pleasure. Yes, in heaven, but even now. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. That's Psalm 36, 8 and 9. So we see the good shepherd faithfully leads, verses 1 to 6. The good shepherd is the only door, verse 7 to 10. And thirdly and finally, the good shepherd lays down his life, verses 11 to 21. The good shepherd lays down his life. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Four times in this little section, Jesus affirms the sacrificial nature of his death and that he gives his life for his sheep. He says it over and over and over again so we can get it. We understand it. We believe it. And it becomes our promise. He lays down his life for the sheep. He said in verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18, Jesus died for his sheep, Israel, and Jesus died for his sheep, the Gentile world. I don't know if we have any Jews here today, but he died for the Jews, but he died for the Gentiles as well. Verse 16, he tells us that. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's speaking of those outside the nation of Israel. Because he came unto his own, the people of Israel in John 1, and his own received him not. And the gospel was given to the Gentiles as well. As one preacher put it, Jesus' sacrificial death was sufficient for all, but efficient only for those who believe. You see, it's conditional. The condition is, I need to believe. My salvation's conditioned on my faith. I need to trust him. I need to receive him as my Savior. So it's God provides salvation for all, but is effective only for those who will believe. His blood is sufficient to save all 7 billion people in the world, but is sufficient only to bring salvation to the hearts of those who believe. In other words, you must believe to be saved. You must believe. Have you believed? Have you believed? That's the question. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling or a hired servant, a hired hand, we might say, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, a hired hand, and cares not for the sheep. The shepherd gives his life. The shepherd gives his life. The hired hand wouldn't think of that. It's not about sacrifice. The sheep need a shepherd who will care for them and who will provide for and protect them. That's what our good shepherd does. He does this for you all the time, every moment of every day. He provides for you. He cares for you. He protects you. He nurtures you. You say, well, I've been going through a rough time. Yeah, and through that rough time, he's caring for you, protecting you, providing for you. And it may be he decided, you know, my sheep need to go through a hard time. As I'm refining them, I'm purifying them, I'm molding them, I'm making them to be like me. That's what our good shepherd does. Every one of us needs a shepherd. Sheep by nature are defenseless. They're not very good at taekwondo. They're not good at against wolves. They don't have the moves to get away from the wolf. They're easily led astray. They're prone to wander. And if injured, the shepherd must carry them. Ever been injured? There's a shepherd carrying you. That's why God likens us to sheep. Clumsy, defenseless, easily frightened, prone to wander from the fold. The Bible compares us to sheep, not mountain lions, not grizzlies, not rhinoceroses. Rhinoceroses. In fact, sheep would probably be extinct if it weren't for shepherds. And our shepherd not only will risk his life for the sheep, for you and me, but he went far beyond risk. He actually laid his life down for us. Verse 15, 17, 18, I lay my life down for the sheep. He willingly, sacrificially, lovingly, loving you and me, laid it down. And he laid it down of his own volition. He didn't have to lay it down. He said that repeatedly. No man takes it from me. I lay it down. He told Pilate, you would have no authority, no power over me except it were given you from my Father. Jesus Christ was brutally beaten, whipped, bloodied, tortured, marred, murdered in the greatest injustice ever committed against a man was committed against the God-man who came because he loved us. And those he loved murdered him. And some of those very same people who murdered him became part of the early church a few months later. We read about in Acts chapter 2. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again, I might be resurrected. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I receive my Father. Praise God for the resurrection. Jesus is no longer in the grave. The tomb is empty to this day. No one ever found the body of Jesus. No one ever did. They couldn't find it because it wasn't there. So he went to heaven. He really did, folks. Resurrection's real. Your resurrection will be real. You and I, everyone will be resurrected, either to life or to damnation. God the Father loves the Son because he laid down his life. He showed his love to the Father by becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2:8. And Jesus did it willingly, voluntarily. No one took his life away from him, but he laid it down himself. Verse 18, myself. And twice he said he would take his life again, which points to his resurrection. The ultimate demonstration of his messiahship and his deity. Romans 1:4. And then finally, verse 19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he has a devil, he has a demon, and is mad, he's insane. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? As was always the case, Jesus created controversy and so a division. He has a demon, he's mad. Others had more sense and they can see the obvious. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And then again, we see that some believed and some didn't. He is a door. He shuts people in for salvation, security, and he shuts others out who reject the truth that they cannot enter. Think of the ark in Noah's day. The door was shut. The eight inside were safe. The rest were out and perished. You're in or out. Which are you? Three things I want to close with. Number one, listen to the shepherd's voice, and he will give you discernment, wisdom, joy, life abundantly. Number two, enjoy the shepherd's care. We ought to be a rejoicing people. Abundant life is his promise. Life not to be endured, but to be enjoyed. Well, I'm just hanging on. Well, I know, that's me. Hanging on to Jesus Christ, I trust. More, we ought to say, he's hanging on to me. And then finally, love the shepherd's sheep. Listen to the shepherd's voice, enjoy the shepherd's care, and love the shepherd's sheep. Love them into the flock, love others into the flock, and love the sheep that are in the flock, realizing that some are more lovable than others. You know I'm very lovable, and many are not. They're not everybody's like me, so adorable and lovable. That's what my wife tells me. Hardly a day goes by. She doesn't say, you're just so adorable, honey. I just can't believe God gave me the gift of you. Well, I'm waiting for that. But we love them all. We love each other even as Christ loved us, who and those of us who are far from lovable, and I include myself, far from lovable. But God's love is so amazing, so amazing, so wonderful, so divine. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this most beautiful descriptive passage of your tender care for those who know Christ as Savior and for those who may be outside the fold, who will come. And it may be there's some here this morning that will come to you, Lord, as they see that you're a good, kind, loving shepherd. And you want nothing but the best, the abundant life. Even though the best may include trials and troubles, We know that you're watching over us and leading us, and we thank you so much for that. We ask your blessing now upon us as we close. Thank you for your word. May we be found faithfully reading it, studying it, enjoying it, and learning more about the one who gave the word to us, that we might be followers of him. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Take our hymn books and turn to 460.